Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650 live from Rogers Arena. The Canucks just wrapping up their morning skate ahead of Game 5, potential elimination game for the Vancouver Canucks as they look to close out the Nashville Predators. I'm Jamie Dodd-Drance down in the dressing rooms right now chatting with the players. He'll speak to Rick Tocchet. He'll come up for noon. So we'll do the whiteboard at noon. IMAX going to join us at 12:30. Emma Lingen, who covers the Preds, is going to join us at 1. But we got an hour to get set for the game. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. I'm coming to you live from the mobile Kintec studio here at Rogers Arena. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. And as I mentioned, Game 5 tonight at Rogers Arena. This is going to be a big one. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, but for the Canucks have a chance to close out a playoff series in front of their home fans for the first time since 2011 in the Western Conference Finals against the San Jose Sharks. Think about how long ago that is. That's 13 years. Think about how much your life has changed in the last 13 years. I was in law school 13 years ago. I finished that, started work as a lawyer, decided I hated that, got married, had kids, got a new career. All in those last 13 years, that's how long it's been since the Canucks closed out a playoff series at home in front of their fans at Rogers Arena, and they have a chance to do it tonight against the Nashville Predators. Get your text in, 650, 650. How are you feeling? Vibe check for the Canucks Talk listenership ahead of Game 5 against the Preds tonight. Now, for me, there's one thing more than anything else, and there's a lot we can get into, right? Obviously, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, the goalie, all of that, adjustments they need to make. The number one thing I want to see from the Canucks in Game 5 tonight is a sense of urgency. Now, obviously, the Predators are the team with their backs against the wall, right? This is literally a must-win game. Not in the cliched sense. If they don't win, their season is over. So you expect them to have a little bit of sense of urgency. The Canucks need to match that, and if anything, they need to exceed it. I understand, obviously, the Canucks have a big margin for error in this series now. 3-1 lead. They've got three cracks at getting this done and advancing to the second round. But I don't want them to play like that. I don't think they can. I don't think they can afford to play like that. I want to see the Canucks come out and play like this is a must-win for them just as much as it's a must-win for Nashville. Play like this is a Game 7, and both teams have their seasons on the line. And there's a couple of reasons I want to see that. One, I think the stakes for this game are enormous. We can get into that more, and I know Drance will want to talk about that, right? But avoiding that trip back to Nashville, buying yourself as much time off as absolutely possible before a potential second-round date with the Edmonton Oilers, that is absolutely key. But even in the here and now, just focusing on this series, right? Focusing on this matchup tonight, you got to put yourself in Nashville's shoes here. You can be as mentally tough as possible as a team, as an organization, as an individual player. And what happened to them on Sunday is still a really, really tough blow to come back from. They have to be reeling. They have to be shook on some level. And again, there's some guys who've been through it over there, obviously. Ryan O'Reilly, Conn Smythe winner. Luke Shen's won Stanley Cups. He's been all around. Dealt with a lot of adversity. They have guys they can lean on. Ryan McDonough has won Stanley Cups. But again, I don't care how many Stanley Cups you've won. You blow a game on your home ice to go down 3-1 in that fashion. Something's got to be lingering in the back of your mind. And I think what the Canucks have to do is they cannot give Nashville an opportunity to build any confidence in this game. Don't let them get a feel for the game. Come out and metaphorically punch them in the face in the first 5 minutes. And I think the crowd is going to be a huge asset for the Canucks in this game. Because this crowd's going to be hot. I mean, we saw what it was like in games 1 and 2. And, you know, the reaction to the Dakota Joshua goal in game 1. And I think this crowd is going to understand the stakes, understand the importance of this game, and they are going to be absolutely on fire to start the game. And if the Canucks can feed on that energy, I think they can. They have a chance to come out, put their stamp on this game, take it over, and not let Nashville get off the mat. That's what I want to see. Because we all know the process was not perfect in Nashville. Amazing, the results you love. You come home with two wins on the road. You got a chance to close out the series in Game 5. You couldn't ask for anything more. But if Nashville has anything to hold on to from those two games, it's the fact that they can probably look at it and say, hey, we were the better team in both games. Don't let that sense of confidence build. Don't let them draw on that. Don't let them ease their way into the game and start to forget about how Game 4 went. You want to punish them right from puck drop to start the game. I think the Canucks can do it. And I think it's absolutely key that they come out hot tonight, feed off the crowd, don't give Nashville a chance to even get back into this series, to even get into Game 5. Leave no doubt tonight and make sure you're not getting on that plane back to Nashville for a Game 6 on Friday. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Mark in the Sea to Sky texts in, I'm feeling like we are lucky to be in this position with a chance to eliminate the Preds, but we can't count on luck anymore. This has to be the best game of the series for the Canucks. I'm cautiously optimistic they can bring it. I think that's a good point, right? You want to see them, for all of the reasons of avoiding that trip to Nashville and closing out the series as soon as possible, but also just, you know, they haven't played nearly their best. They haven't played like we know this team is capable of. Have they? Would you really say they've played Canucks hockey for any significant stretches in this series? Yeah, I think you could say the in-zone defensive work in Game 3 in Nashville was Canucks hockey. But in terms of the, you know, wearing teams down in the offensive end, the successful forecheck, crisply moving through the neutral zone, we haven't seen long stretches of that. I know they're capable of it. So I think, one, to Mark's point, bring that A game tonight, not only to finish off the Preds, but just to build yourself some confidence going into the next round as well. Start to erase those process concerns that have crept in despite building a 3-1 series lead here. Dave texts in, hammer down, no mercy. The crowd's super loud. It's going to be crazy. Go, Canucks, go. Yeah, absolutely. Neil in Nanaimo says, not only do the Canucks players need to hear the crowd, they can be inspired if they see a sea of blue in the whole arena. And again, you know, I don't want to overstate home ice, all of those things. We just saw the Canucks take two games on the road in Nashville. Although, let's be honest, Canucks fans have vastly outperformed Nashville fans so far in the series in terms of loudness, in terms of passion. But we all heard how the Canucks players reacted after Game 1, how important that crowd support was to them, what a special moment that was. And I think the crowd's got to take that seriously. Like, they have a role to play in making sure this team comes out on fire, comes storming out of the gates, and eliminates any hope from Nashville of a big comeback over the next three games here. Again, keep your text coming in. Lots of good thoughts here. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Richard, the goalie dad, 26, in Kitsilano, says it's a must win because the walking wounded need rest and repair time. And that's really what it comes down to me. I don't think this is a must win for the Canucks to win this series. Although I will say, you know, take even the specifics of how this series has gone out, right? Just imagine two generic teams in this situation, the road team trailing 3-1 going into Game 5. Game 5 is so important for the road team in that situation because if you win Game 5, you can kind of map it out in your head. Okay, we're going back home. We're going to be in front of our home fans. They're going to be fired up. We're riding high. The other team's disappointed. They had to make that trip again. You feel like pretty good about that one, and then you're in a coin flip in Game 7. Now, again, I think even if the Canucks lose tonight, I like them to win the series. But you don't want to let Nashville see that path back. You don't want to let them visualize, okay, this is how we can win this series. And I think to do that, you need to win tonight. Now, to Richard Goalie Dad's other point, right, you need rest and repair time. I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the big talking points, of course, is Thatcher Demko in that regard. We'll have an update on who's playing in goal here in a second. And we will try to play Rick Tocchet's audio live when he steps up to the podium at some point here in the next 20 minutes or so. You know, Thatcher Demko is not the main concern for me. The number one concern is Quinn Hughes. And we're talking about buying time to get everyone healthy. That's the player that I think needs it the most, more than anything. Like, obviously, you'd love to have Thatcher Demko back. But the reports we're hearing, he's not going to be back for the start of next round, whenever that is, if the Canucks advance. He might not even be back for the end of next round, if the Canucks advance. But Quinn Hughes is going to be in the lineup. You just need him to be at a very, very high level. You need him to be Norris Trophy Quinn Hughes. And, of course, he had those spectacular plays to help tie the game on Sunday in Nashville. And that's great. And I think, you know, can they win with the Quinn Hughes? Can they win tonight with the Quinn Hughes they got for 55 minutes in Nashville? Yeah, probably. Because they've got some other really good players. I think they're better than Nashville. I think they can pull it out in front of their home fans. But going forward, if you want to turn this into a long, long playoff run, right? If you want to do more than just take out the Nashville Predators in round one, you need Quinn Hughes at the very top of his game. And we haven't seen that so far. And I think the best chance, clearly, that we have to see that going forward in the playoffs is if the Canucks take care of business against Nashville tonight by Quinn Hughes. It could be 5-6 days. By Quinn Hughes that time to rest up, get healthy, and get back to the peak of his powers. Now, there's other guys, too, that you can point to. And, you know, we know everyone is playing with some bumps and bruises at this time of year. Everyone could use the rest. Of course, that's true. But if you're looking at one guy who needs it, I think, more than anybody else, who the Canucks need to get it for more than anybody else, for me, it's Quinn Hughes. Dan in Fort St. John says, I'm not going to say this is a must win, but I think the result will go a long way to determining just how magical this run is going to be. Close it out and rest up, and I like our chances against the Oilers. Now, not to get too ahead of ourselves, right? They've got a win. They've got a game here tonight that they need to win to make this all a reality. But yeah, they play tonight. The Oilers play in the same situation, game five at home, tomorrow, with a chance to eliminate the Kings. Now, I personally think the Oilers are just far, far better than LA. I think they'll take care of business. But you have a chance to wrap up your series before Edmonton does. If, by some miracle, LA gets the win on the road tomorrow, well, then all of a sudden, that could be a really significant rest advantage that you have over Edmonton. And that could be kind of the cherry on top of wrapping this series up in five games. I think they need it no matter when Edmonton's series ends, right? But, man, if you get yours done significantly before Edmonton does, that is absolutely, absolutely huge. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one comes up. Tonight would be a good night to rest Petey and have him deal with his issue. Now, obviously, Elias Pettersson is going to be in the spotlight once again, as he should be. He needs to be a difference maker for this team. We're talking about what needs to happen for this team to go on a long playoff run, win tonight, get Quinn Hughes healthy, buy Thatcher Demko time. All of those things are important. Get everyone else on the team some rest. Obviously, Elias Pettersson getting going is high on that list. He absolutely is going to. He hasn't needed to be yet. Right? This is round one. This is Nashville. This is a wild card team. They've been able to stake out a 3-1 lead without Elias Pettersson being anywhere close to his best or really effective at all. That's going to have to change. Now, I disagree with the idea of pulling him out, of resting him tonight. I think the only way he's going to get through this is by having success on the ice. I think you have to keep putting him out there. You have to keep putting him on power play one. Look, he was out there in the crucial late-game situations, and I'm not going to say he made spectacular plays, but he was involved. Again, I'm not trying to lower the bar here. I'm just saying Rick Tocchet obviously agrees that Elias Pettersson is still one of their best offensive options. You need Elias Pettersson. I think the only way to get him going is to continue to play him. Having said that, and we can get back into what to expect from Elias Pettersson tonight here in a second, having said that, now, we don't know what Elias Pettersson is dealing with. I know we discussed the Rick Dhaliwal report yesterday that he's got some bumps and bruises, but so does everyone else. So I think from Elias Pettersson's perspective, if the Canucks win tonight, okay, the physical rest is amazing, but I think a mental reset would go a long way for Elias Pettersson as well, right? Like 5 days off to, as I said, reset, take a deep breath, get that practice time in, build some confidence on the practice rink. I think that could go a long way for Elias Pettersson. Now, having said that, I also think it's totally, totally feasible that he breaks out tonight, even if there is something physically bothering him. I still think he's capable of having a signature night against the Nashville Predators. And I think that's why Rick Tocchet really doesn't have a choice. Now, we have seen him kind of reduce Elias Pettersson's minutes into a third-line role already, which makes perfect sense. You've got Miller, you've got the Lindholm line. Use them as your top six. Drop Elias Pettersson a little farther down the lineup, but that's really the extent of it. You still have to use him on the power play. You still have to have him in the lineup, obviously. You have to give him those opportunities to really get going and to really figure it out. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Lacutus of Bork says, Jamie, let the fans know if the Canucks win tonight, everyone needs to keep it down. The boys deserve a good sleep tonight. No, man, because they're going to get a rest, right? So they can enjoy it tonight because they'll have some time. They'll have some time to rest after this one. Somebody else texts in signature or staple, which I think is in reference to me saying the Canucks need a signature, or Pettersson could play a signature game, but that's an interesting way of phrasing it, right? Does he need to play a signature game, or does he need to play a staples game? And, of course, Rick Tocchet is famous for, you know, hey, we have certain staples about how we need to play. He's obviously not seeing those from Elias Pettersson. Nobody is. We can all admit that. Nobody is seeing those from Elias Pettersson. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting listening to Rick Tocchet on Elias Pettersson yesterday when he met with the media. We'll see what Tocchet has to say, if anything, about PD today. But, you know, he said, I think he's thinking about too much. Job one, move your feet. Job one, move your feet. Everything else will come from that. Yeah, you want to make a nice shot. You want to make a sick pass, all of those things. But if you move your feet, a lot is going to open up for him. And, you know, I think to the texter's point, does he need to have a signature game or does he need to have a staple game? Yeah, at a certain point, simplify is the name of the game for Elias Pettersson. And it's such a fine line because the thing that makes Pettersson at his best such a special player is his incredible creativity, his ability to see things on the ice that very few other players can do, his ability to do things on the ice that very few other players can manage. But if that's not there for you, then I think you do need to simplify a little bit, right? And again, there's going to be plays available for him. You don't want to completely take away that creativity, that kind of next level of playmaking that he has. But look, you have Ilya Mikheyev, you have Nils Höglander on your line. I hate to try to turn Elias Pettersson into a dump and chase type player, but maybe that's what it needs to be, at least to start tonight, right? Get the puck in deep, to use the, you know, the greatest of all hockey cliches. Move your feet, let your line mates move their feet, get in on the forecheck. Just have some simple shifts where you're playing in the other team's zone, where you're not turning it over. Get some pucks to the net. Another cliche right there for you. And try to build from there. I think that's where we're at with Elias Pettersson. But again, it's all about building that confidence. Maybe it starts with baby steps like that. But that's what needs to happen. He needs to regain that confidence where he can go out and he can be a difference maker for the team. Roman in Calgary says, something tells me Nashville is no longer willing to sacrifice the body like they did in game two, being down 1-3. Go Canucks. That's going to be a huge question, right? That's going to be an absolutely huge question, is how does Nashville come out? Where is their mental state at? How much belief do they have left? And as the texter says, you know, it takes a lot of mental toughness. It takes a lot of belief, a lot of buy-in to lay out and block shots like the Preds have done. Frankly, like the Canucks have done in this series at certain points as well. We all saw Ian Cole. Because as much as this series has been kind of ugly, like, both teams have been working really hard. There's been a lot of physical play in this. We've seen the hits that the Preds have put on Quinn Hughes. We've seen Nikita Zadorov really step up and throw his body around, Dakota Joshua. This has been a really intense, physical, tight-checking series. To the texter's point, to Roman's point, it takes a certain amount of effort, of buy-in, of belief to keep playing that game. Do the Preds still have that? Or did the Canucks kind of steal it from them a little bit? And again, to bring it back to my original point, even if it's like lingering in there in the Preds just a little bit still, can the Canucks snuff it out today with a really, really good first five, first 10 minutes? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. So it sounds like, now I haven't seen an official confirmation, and we'll see what Rick Tocchet has to say here when he speaks. But it does sound like Archers Shelovs is going to get the start in goal again for the Vancouver Canucks in Game 5 against the Nashville Predators with a chance to move on to the second round. Of course, Casey DeSmith apparently dealing with an injury. That's why he missed game four. Now, Rick Tocchet was pretty noncommittal. You know, could he have played through it if he needed to? But Archer Shelov's was really good. Not exceptional, right? It wasn't a stellar goaltending performance. It's not as if he stole the game. But I think you saw everything you needed to see from Archer Shelov's to at least have the confidence to go back to him. And it's going to be interesting to hear from Rick Tocchet his thought process on going to Archer Shelov's. Is it because Casey DeSmith is still injured? Is it because he just has more confidence in Archer Shelov's? I think they'll probably... Now, again, we're still waiting for confirmation here because Drance broke it down on Twitter. Archer Shelov's got... This is from Drance. Archer Shelov's got the usual starters chat from Canucks goalie coach Ian Clark, but then so did Casey DeSmith. Both netminders were hanging out by the gate. DeSmith consulting with Tocchet and Vancouver trainers. Now, Shelov's left first, which is typically the sign of who's starting, but DeSmith left right after that. So, as Drant says, looks very much like a club hiding its tells. So, there have been reports, I know from Irfan Ghaffar and Patrick Johnson as well, that it is going to be Shelov's. We'll wait to get official confirmation from Rick Tocchet on that, but very, 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 very much seems to be pointing in the direction of Archer Shelov's going tonight in Game 5. So, that's a lot of pressure on a young goalie, right? Playing this elimination game, potential elimination game at home. But has anything we've seen from Archer Shelov suggested that he's not up to the occasion? I mean, that was a big pressure start in Nashville. I know they were leading the series, right? So you have a little bit of a buffer. But that's still a hostile road environment. Your first ever NHL playoff game. Team doesn't play very well in front of you. And Shelov's did enough to keep them in it, to give them a chance to stage that miracle comeback in the third period. Now, we all know about his world championships experience with Latvia as well. He's been in big games. He's been in high-pressure games. And you listen to Rick Tocchet speak about his young goalie, about Archer Shelov's. And now, look, Rick Tocchet's always highly complimentary to Casey DeSmith as well. But you can tell that Rick Tocchet really, really is impressed by the demeanor of Shelov's, by how calm he is, by how confident he is, by how unflappable the young goalie seems to be. And I'm going to be curious to hear what Rick Tocchet has to say about his choice to run with Archer Shelov's in Game 5 tonight at Rogers Arena. It is going to be a good one. Chance for the Canucks to move on to Round 2. We'll take a break here. We hopefully will be able to take Rick Tocchet live at the podium in the next segment. Again, Drancer's going to join me at noon. Keep those texts coming in. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. I'll try to get some more of them on the other side, depending on when we get Tocchet or not. But I'm hyped up. The crowd's going to be hyped up tonight. Should be a good one. Lots more Canucks talk on the way here on Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here. Drancer will be joining me at noon today. We'll do the whiteboard at noon when Drancer pops by. I'm live here at Rogers Arena in the broadcast gondola of the Nashville Predators on the ice for their morning skate ahead of Game 5 between the Preds and the Canucks here at Rogers Arena. Canucks with a chance to eliminate Nashville from the postseason. Could be a big elimination day in the NHL. The Canucks, one of four teams with a chance to move on tonight, should they win. Of course, Boston can eliminate the Leafs. The Hurricanes can take care of the Islanders. The Avs can finish off the Jets, and then the Preds and the Canucks at 7 tonight. So we could be down to two first-round series remaining, depending on how all of the results go. I bet somebody's going to extend their series. One of the teams will pull out a win here. I'm not going to predict two, but I don't think the 3-1 teams are going to all get the job done tonight. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. And we are live from the Mobile Kintec studio here at Rogers Arena on a game day, Canucks playoff game day. Now, we'll wait to hear from Rick Tocchet here. Hopefully, momentarily, he'll step up to the podium. We can carry his comments live on the show. But the first kind of headline is no lineup changes tonight. And that, as far as we know, at least right now, if Shelov's leading the ice first, the reports that are out there. But, you know, as far as we know, that even includes the goalie. But nobody drawing in. No lineup changes, same pairings, same forward lines, all of it remains the same. And I think there's a couple of things going on here from Rick Tocchet's perspective, right? One is giving the players a vote of confidence, saying basically, hey, I know we haven't played our best hockey. We're still up 3-1. We fought back, stole a victory in that last game. So, look, we don't need to change too much. So I'm not going to juggle anything. I'm not going to act like I'm panicking. I'm going to just keep things together because you guys have gotten yourselves a 3-1 lead in this series. So I think that's the positive side of Rick Tocchet not changing his lines going into tonight. I think the other part of it, though, is Tocchet sending a bit of a message. And he's been pretty consistent, pretty explicit about this, talking to the media throughout the course of this series as well, which is basically, you know, it's not really about tactical adjustments. Tweaks, sure. But really, it's about execution. And I think Rick Tocchet is saying to the players here, you have all the tools you guys need to go out and improve the process, to play Canucks hockey like you've done all year. It's not about juggling the lines. It's not about any magic from the coaching staff at this point. It's about the players going out and executing. And even yesterday, you know, he was talking, look, Miller and Besser, they're playing great together. Pew Suter's helping that line. Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua hasn't been, I think, as consistent as you'd like, but you've seen it in moments. The fourth line had a good game. So, really, it's only one line we're talking about, and that's the Pettersson line that you would look to shake up anyways, and so much of that just comes down to Pettersson executing. I don't think for a second that there's something intrinsic about, like, look, could Pettersson have better line mates? Yeah, of course. But we've also seen him have success with guys like Nils Höglander, with guys like Ilya Mikheyev. I don't think there's anything intrinsic about those wingers for him that means he can't have more of an impact. And I think that's Tocchet's message here is, look, is it the ideal setup? Probably not. But it's what we have to work out, and it's up to work with, and it's up for the players to go out there and figure out a way to make it work in this game, to make it work more effectively and more consistently than it has in this series. Now, Reed in Vancouver texts in, the notion of same lineup because we won is outdated. I would like to see more load management, especially in the bottom six, given how physical this series is. And I agree, Reed, that the idea of you can't change a lineup after a win is, sure, outdated, whatever. I just don't think it makes a ton of sense, especially in the playoffs, right, where every game is so high stake. I don't think Rick Tocchet's keeping this lineup together just because they won, right? And we all know he wasn't thrilled with the way they played in Game 4. And we've heard Rick Tocchet even say, like, look, if we win a game but somebody played really poorly, I'll take them out of the lineup. But I think Rick Tocchet is keeping this lineup together because he believes it gives the Canucks the best chance of winning. I think it's as simple as that. He thinks right now these are the Canucks' best lines, and they're 3-1 up in the series, and he's going to roll with the lineup that he thinks gives the Canucks the best chance of closing this one out at Rogers Arena. All right, we're going to go live to Rick Tocchet at the podium here at Rogers Arena.
And your mindset is going to be the same. I don't think we have to be so desperate that, you know, like, oh my God, if we don't win, we got to travel back, get to our game. We know what we have to do better for today's game. That's really what it comes down to.
How important has Adam Foote been for the defense core throughout these playoffs, especially, like you said, with matchups and playing the same team so many times? How important has Adam Foote been for your coaching staff?
Yeah, the calmness with Footy. He's a very calm guy. Whether in-game or after the game or the next day, his teaching, he's really good at telling stories, whether with his video or even in moments of just relaxing. I think he... when two cups, he's been on some Canada Cup or the Olympic high pressure games, and I think he's really good for our defense.
Who's your starter for tonight?
Game time. I usually tell you guys, but this playoff stuff, I was told it's game time. So,
JT said that a lot of the issue with the team not getting a lot of shots is it's a lot of one-and-done situations. Yeah. We're getting one shot but not winning the puck back. How do you address that heading into this game?
Yeah, it's something that players, they hear me all year. It's body position first. We're going for the puck first. And if, you know, you got to – this is where you – tonight you got to go into the body to get the puck, then the puck. These are the type of games where I really need players to listen. We have to have an attitude, and because Nashville, they're not gonna change. They're gonna come at us, and if we don't come up with loose pucks, doesn't matter what system you have. Yeah.
You were able to take advantage of that at 6-on-5 in the previous game, having players behind that. How do you take that into 5-on-5 and take advantage of them looking to front?
Yeah, I think it's important to have that anchor in front, but that we call it that second stick. You know, you got to find that area where, you know, they're going to come out and be the blocker, but the guy to the, whether it's to the side or to the far side, you got to shoot for that second stick mentality. You got to be careful, because then if you start telling that, then they'll leak away from that, the other guy leaks. So one guy has to be the anchor. And you know what? Sometimes you got to take the shot too. If you got 15 feet of separation, the guy wants to block it, it's got to hurt. You know, you can't defer and alter your shot. But I think the second stick helps. And I think that those 6-on-5 goals helped us. You know, Best being to the side there, that was big.
Going back to your goaltending situation, which I know is your favorite discussion topic right now.
Which one? Sorry.
Your goaltending.
Oh, yeah.
What goes into your decision tonight? Is it all about health or is it about performance? What do you base that decision off of?
It's a good question. I think both. I think, you look at, where that person is injury-wise. You talk to the doctor, you talk to the trainer, and then you talk to him. I mean, there has to be, there has to be a three-way conversation, and then you just make your decision.
And I don't think we've asked you what exactly is the injury with Casey, upper, lower, sideways?
Lower.
Rick, sorry, I'm going to do the tricky thing once more with your goaltending situation, but I'm really going to try and do it I'm not trying to trick you here.
Okay.
Presumably it's a game-time decision between DeSmith and Seeloves, but in the event that DeSmith is not your starter, will he be your backup? I.e., will those two be your goaltenders dressed tonight?
Well, I'll put it this way. Casey had a good day yesterday, and so, I would foresee if he did not play, he'd be a backup.
And there's often talk after like a loss or a losing streak about managing your emotions or having a short memory. When you're coming off the emotional high of a win like your club's on Sunday, is the same thing true? Do you need to have a short memory in terms of refocusing for a game 5?
Yeah, the positive of the last game, we know we could have played better. I think our antennas are up a little bit more. If we played a great game and won, maybe you're as a coach, you're a little bit nervous for tonight's game, but because we know we didn't play our A game, and I think our antennas are up, like we have to play better, you feel more comfortable going to this game 5. Let's put it that way.
Rick, you look at your goaltending situation and you've used 3 goalies. I mean, Ian Clark, the job that he's done, not only here, but I mean, down in Abbotsford, they're in a game 3 and Shachenko or whatever, 47 saves. I mean, it goes all the way down. Just the job that Ian has done in terms of preparing these guys ready to play.
Yeah, I didn't know much about Clarkie when I got here. He's dialed in. I don't really worry about the goaltender. He'll give me the information, then we'll make a decision on it. Obviously, it's ultimate on my call, but I get unreal information. And he's really good at picking a goalie's weakness and working with it and not being awake, because I think he's done a hell of a job with Casey Smith this year, changing some of his game. Obviously, Thatch and him have an unreal relationship. And then Artie, I think he's really built a relationship this year. So, he's done a fabulous job for us.
Quinn Hughes has taken a lot of physical punishment in this series in previous times. I mean, you could slow down a forecheck with a little obstruction. What can you do in this game now in terms of trying to slow down that forecheck and not allow them to have as much speed going into the zone?
Well, keep the puck more in their offensive zone, like we were talking, one and done. When you're one and done, teams get it, and now they're on the go. And whether they rim it in or they chip it in, then all of a sudden your defense are at heat. So if we can be better, even 50% at having more pucks, maybe get in front the odd time without taking a penalty, I get it. And then moving the puck quicker, our D to, like instead of massaging it, I think right there is a recipe where they're not going to be as honest as much. I think those three things we can get better at.
Rick, you've won three of the four games, so the guys are finding a way to get the job done. I wonder, have you considered Vasily Podkolzin for this series at any point?
Yeah, he's always a possibility, for sure.
Is there value for a young guy being here around the group, seeing NHL playoff action firsthand, when he could be playing playoff hockey in Abbotsford?
Yeah, well, if he doesn't play today, we'll probably, he's a guy that will go play a game. And then we can always have him come back because of the rules. But, yeah, he's definitely got to go play a game, for sure. And we've talked about that, exactly what you're saying.
But what about the benefits to him, just seeing this up close and personal and being around this environment?
Short term, I think it's great. But if he's not playing for weeks at a time, then, you know, he's got to get some games in. But, you know, that's not – you know, he's always available. But I think, you know, it's important that he plays some games in a playoff style, which could be Abbotsford.
Thank you.
Good.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet addressing the media as his team has a chance to finish off the Nashville Predators on home ice in front of their home crowd. And the gamesmanship from Rick Tocchet continues. I read the tweet from Drance about kind of how the goalies came off the ice, not in the typical fashion where it makes it abundantly clear who the starter is going to be. And Rick Tocchet asked directly who's going in net tonight. He said, game time decision. I love Rick Tocchet saying, you know, usually I would tell you guys, but hey, it's the playoffs. So I was told that it's a game time decision. Now, reading the tea leaves, right? Just the fact that Shelov's technically was the first goalie off the ice, even if he was followed directly by Casey DeSmith. The reports from Irfan Gafar before, you know, before the team got on the ice this morning. I would bet on Archer Shelov's, but obviously Rick Tocchet not willing to disclose. Now, has he already made his decision? It sounds like it, right? Him saying, look, I was told to say game time decision, but maybe there are some medical considerations that go into, you know, whether or not it could be Casey DeSmith or Archer Shelov's getting the start tonight. You know, interesting elsewhere in that presser from Rick Tocchet, you know, Drance asked him, will DeSmith be the backup if he's not the one starting, because of course it was Nikita Tolopilo who was backing up Archer Shelov's on Sunday in Nashville. Casey DeSmith was the e-bug, and Rick Tocchet saying, yeah, he had a good day, so I anticipate him backing up if he's not the starter. So that would seem to indicate obviously some progress on the goalie front. Gives the Canucks a couple of realistic options that Tocchet has to decide between. I guess theoretically it could still be Casey DeSmith, depending on, as Rick Tocchet said, kind of the three-way conversations, player, coach, doctor. But right now I would bet on Archer Shelov's getting that chance to be the goalie tonight to help the Canucks clinch this first-round playoff series against the Nashville Predators. Elsewhere there from Rick Tocchet, by the way, it is Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here solo right now. Drance will be joining me at noon for the whiteboard and for the duration of the show. But, you know, obviously a lot of conversation in this series about the Predators' forecheck, and really so much of it has focused on the hits they've been able to deliver to Quinn Hughes and how much of a physical toll has that taken on Quinn Hughes. That's certainly part of the story. That's something the Canucks would love to figure out. You know, even if the series ends tonight, you still want to eliminate as many of those hits as you can. But I think even just beyond the Quinn Hughes side of things, you look at it and they've had trouble breaking out of the zone. And I think, you know, a lot of that is connected to their or that has led to a lot of their offensive struggles as well, right? Because when you don't move out of the zone crisply, you're not generating speed through the neutral zone. It makes it harder to get in the forecheck. And then you have, as JT Miller referred to it, a bunch of one-and-done situations, right, where it's one shot, you're not able to recover the puck, and boom, Nashville's going the other way. Or even worse than that, you know, you're dumping the puck in from center ice and going off for a change because you've expended all your energy just getting out of the zone, getting the puck into the neutral zone. So I think it's connected, and, you know, I thought it was interesting when Rick Tocchet was asked, okay, what can you do to slow down the forecheck? And it was the Moj saying, you know, back in the day, you just interfere with players, right? You just get in their way when they're going in the forecheck. You can't really do that as much anymore. And what Rick Tocchet said was it's not so much – I think it's very telling. The first thing he said in terms of slowing down the Nashville forecheck had nothing to do with what the Canucks are doing in their own zone. and everything to do what they're doing in the offensive zone, right? Hockey's a connected game. There's no clear boundary between playing offense and playing defense, and it's those one-and-done opportunities that are allowing Nashville to easily exit the zone, build that speed through the neutral zone, dump the puck in, and come in with a ton of speed on the Canucks' blue liners. And so if the Canucks are able to establish their offensive zone time more consistently, work that puck below the goal line, tire out the Predators' defensemen, make it really difficult for them to cleanly come up with possession and get the puck out, well, guess what? That's going to slow down the Nashville forecheck. Now, there are things the defensemen can do as well, as Rick Tocchet said, right? Move the puck more quickly, D-to-D. Don't massage the puck. Make those really snappy decisions. Don't put yourself in the line of fire. That's all 100% true, but I do think it comes down to, you know, the best thing you can do. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. If it means holding on to the puck for a long, long time, close to the other team's goal. And that's one of the things the Canucks need to do. And I do really think the key for the Canucks in this game is going to be establishing their forecheck. We've seen it in moments. We've seen it in flashes in this series. But it's such an important part of the Canucks' offensive game. And I don't think they've really been able to do it nearly as much as they want to, nearly as much as they need to have success going forward. And I think it's the kind of thing where it can really build that momentum for a team. If you're having success consistently on the forecheck, it's so demoralizing for the other team. It allows you to build your confidence, and it's going to result in the Canucks spending a lot of time in the offensive zone if they can get that forecheck working. And as Rick Tocchet said, that should limit the physical toll that the Preds are able to exert on Quinn Hughes as well. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and I read a text just before I threw to Rick Tocchet saying, you know, hey, same lineup just because we won is outdated. I'd like to see some more load management in the bottom six given how physical this series in. Mark texted in, and I think this is an absolutely perfect point. He says, best way to load manage is to win tonight and not have to go all the way back to Nashville for game six. I think that's 100% right. That is the ultimate load management, is avoiding more games. And because I don't think you have the luxury of kind of being cute with the lineup. Load management means winning tonight and buying everyone a bunch of time here before they have to play another game in round two. All right. Before noon, even, a cameo appearance in this segment. It is my co-host, Canucks Insider Thomas Strantz, also covering the team, for The Athletic. What's going on, man?
Can you cameo on the show yours?
We got 5 minutes here, so I guess that's a cameo.
Well, that's true. You know what? I sat down and I was like, should I be respectful and just sit and enjoy Jamie's sick breakdown of Rick Tocchet's commentary?
I don't want to do my show in front of you with you not participating. That would be so weird.
You know what? Honestly, I was just like waiting for you because I was going to let you like make – I was giving you the option.
Yeah.
So – I'm sitting there in that Rick Tocchet press conference, and I'm genuinely considering, after he says that his starter is a game-time decision, should I ask him if his backup is a game-time decision?
I loved you being like, look, I swear, Rick, I'm not trying to trick you.
Well, because to me, there's two separate questions, okay? There's a question of who's starting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Rick demurred on providing that answer. Then there's another question, which is DeSmith fit to dress?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, those are two distinct questions. So even when he deferred answering sort of the first one, I still want to know. And I thought he implied that DeSmith will be in to back
up. Yeah, he said, I anticipate him backing up. Had a good day yesterday. So that certainly seems like what's going on.
Because this is where you are at if you're the Vancouver Canucks right now, right? The question is not Seelovs or DeSmith, although I'm sure that's the discussion that's happening in our inbox and will be happening on our airwaves all day and will be happening in bars across British Columbia in preparation for Game 5. But that's not necessarily the conversation internally, right? The conversation internally is far more likely to be Seelovs at 100 or DeSmith at 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about percentage of readiness, right? And at what point does it tilt? If they're both at 100, who's starting? We don't know yet, right? I trust the quality intel out there, especially, you know, my colleague Rick Dhaliwal reporting that it's Seelovs today. Seelovs did leave the ice first. This Canucks team, Ian Clark, I'm telling you right now, managed, like, the stage.
Yeah.
He was goalie coach, director of goaltending, and stage manager today as they manage their tells. So, you know, we usually know who the Canucks starter is because they go through a specific type of starter's drills that Clark has instilled in them before they start. Now, that's already a mess because Seelov's routine, dating back to Abbotsford where he doesn't work day-to-day with Ian Clark, mm-hmm. does not include the usual starter's routine. And Casey DeSmith went through what looked kind of like the starter's routine, but was maybe only 75% of the way there today when the Canucks hit the ice for morning skate. So right off the hop, there's like a complicating change-up that the club's already throwing in terms of what they showed us. Then there's, you know, the added sort of theatrics of DeSmith going through a drill that looks like the starter's routine but isn't quite that if you really know what you're looking for. Then, after skate, right, Ian Clark has what we in the media refer to as the come-to-Jesus talk with his starter, where he lines up usually between the benches, right, in like Ray Ferraro's old home, uh-huh. and he has a brief conversation with his starter right before his starter is the first guy off the ice. So that's the second one. Today he had the come-to-Jesus talk with Artur Seelovs, and I start typing my tweet, and then he had it with DeSmith in the exact same part of the ice. And here's where it got really weird, okay? Because, again, this is all happening before I can even send my tweet out, and it's just like my tweet keeps adding branches. So first, Ian Clark tips his hand by having the come-to-Jesus talk with Seelovs. Then he's like, no, 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 and has the exact same chat with DeSmith. Then both DeSmith and Seelovs hang out by the respective gates at either side of the Canucks bench. Then, and this is where this gets really unusual, Rick Tocchet comes out, having already left the ice and removed his skates. He comes back out, and he talks to Canucks medical trainer, DeSmith, and so it's Tocchet, DeSmith, and a Canucks medical trainer all consult on the bench while Seelov sort of waits and watches. Tolopilo makes some stops. Then Seelov leaves the ice almost immediately after DeSmith leaves the ice. So
Seelov leaves first.
Then DeSmith leaves immediately after. So that's like the pageantry. All of this is wildly odd for the Canucks, like very different. And I do think it implies two things. One is, clearly, by Tocchet coming out and the medical staff are consulting with DeSmith, this isn't as simple as a personnel decision or like a goaltending decision. There is a health element underpinning this, which the club hasn't hid in terms of DeSmith, right? I mean, we knew that DeSmith was hurt, and that's mm-hmm. why he was unavailable except to serve as the e-bug in Game 4. The other part of this is I think the Canucks believe that there is a material advantage in withholding this information from the Predators, even if it's already been reported, in making sure that there's at least some doubt. And given the stylistic dissonance between DeSmith and Seelovs, this actually might be one of those rare instances. Usually I would make fun of hockey people for being like that matters.
For staging the whole like pantomime of...
As if that matters. That would be me most of the time. I actually think in this instance, and in talking to like Kevin Woodley and people who know this stuff better than me, in this instance, there's enough of a material difference in how the Predators would want to exploit and attack each netminder that actually there may be some real benefit to planting a seed of doubt in the minds of Predator shooters about who exactly they'll be shooting on when they go through the pre-scout today. So interesting. The Canucks need every seed of doubt they can get based on how the last two games of this series have played out at 5-on-5.
Fascinating, fascinating stuff playing out here at Rogers Arena.
Or is it only interesting to me? Do you think the audience is interested?
People are very – trust me, people are very interested in who's going to start. I'll tell you that much. But I think the subterfuge element of it is really fascinating as well. Because I will say, when Rick Tocchet said – because I think what he said to the media was – normally I tell you guys, but because it's the playoffs, I'm going to say game time decision, right? He said something – that was the gist of it anyways, which makes it sound like he's already actually made a decision.
Well, no. If you're starting Seelovs today
– Yeah.
If you're starting Seelovs today, you let him know last night.
Yeah.
You should – as a young netminder starting your second NHL playoff game and your ninth career NHL game, you want to go to bed and wake up knowing you're in, right?
Yep.
The only way you deviate from that is if it's truly like a 50-50 on DeSmith and you want to make that decision. But up 3-1 in a series, I'd even be critical of that. Like, if there's enough doubt about DeSmith that you have to wait until after the skate, make the decision last night and know that you've got, you know, two more games for him to get back, you know, over the remainder of the series. For me, if you're starting Seelovs, you should make that decision and communicate it to him last night. And my guess, based on what Dhaliwal has reported, is that's exactly what's happened.
My money would be on Shelov's and net, but we'll see. As you said, just enough doubt planted out there, and this text comes in. So what you're saying is Tolopilo is starting tonight.
No, it's actually the Pepsi Wall goaltender.
They're calling Sachenko up?
No, it's the Pepsi Wall goaltender from Kelowna. Yeah, it's the they're starting
the Pepsi wall.
Yeah, they're starting a wall of cans. In
Man! All right, we'll take a break. We'll do the whiteboard officially on the other side here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.